This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
This is Saturday Magazine.
And you're listening to Saturday Magazine with Macca and Tass. So, Macca, we're now going to move to somebody who you idolise, I think.
Well, yes, look, I do have to disclose this, and the person's actually on the line.
And he can hear all of this?
I can hear all of this. I am a huge fan of David Marr, a huge fan of David for a number of reasons. My Sunday mornings, of course, with insiders when he's on there, but his writing and his work and his integrity and his honesty and his humour and his command of the language makes me feel inadequate. Welcome, David.
What do I say to that? Except, really, you should talk to some of my friends and they give you a completely different view.
Well, I did actually.
David, if only you could see this. Macca is clutching onto your latest book, yeah. like you know, he's like there's no tomorrow.
Look, it's
There is a tomorrow.
There.
Be confident of that.
So you know, now that I've disclosed my man admiration for you, I love the fact that despite the many challenges we face in Australia in 2019, voices like yours are still heard, and books written by people like you are still published. That's important.
Thank you.
I'm gonna go now. Okay.
No, look, we have to keep talking. We have to keep writing. We have to keep these things alive. And I just have this inner confidence based on, I don't know, 40 years of some disappointments being reversed. But in the end, this country does get most things right. It's just so incredibly hard.
Mm. Well, I suppose, you know, Graham Richardson always says, you know, the mob usually don't get it wrong.
That's a slightly different proposition.
Yeah, that's voting, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So your latest book, My Country, it's a collection of stories and essays and speeches, I understand.
Yeah, look, some of my efforts at I give quite a lot of speeches, and sometimes a speech is an opportunity to bring together all kinds of stuff that you've been working on. It's not actually a news story. It's not actually a profile or that I do write lots of. But it's an opportunity to bring stuff together, and there are some of those in the book as well. And it's a different voice. It's so interesting when you're writing to talk. It's not quite the same voice. I suspect it's a better voice, actually. I suspect it's a cleaner voice.
There's a great line here, David, where you're talking about Ben Chifley and, you know, that he was not well and that Fred Daly and Clyde Cameron were talking to him and said, you know, you look tired, why don't you get out? And he said, I need someone other than Doc Everett to succeed him. So, you know, he was hanging on there. The parallels in politics, you know, I often say the scene doesn't change, only the actors. Do you despair in the current environment, David, with the state of our politics?
I don't despair. I mean, but we are in a terrible trough at the moment, a truly terrible trough. But we've been there before. I mean, if you're as old as me, you can remember what happened after Menzies retired.
Yes.
I mean, after Menzies retired, there was a succession of prime ministers. One, unfortunately, drowned and disappeared off a beach.
Oh, no, no, the Chinese took him. We know that.
The Chinese submarine, look, has anybody ever proved it's not true?
Correct.
Perhaps there was a Chinese submarine. We do know that his mistress was standing on the beach as he disappeared under the surf. But there was a succession of prime ministers. I'm at the moment reading a wonderful book called Tiberius with a Telephone.
I've bought that, David.
Oh, just get into it. It's wonderful. And the thing is,
I think we need a book show.
the thing is that it reminds us of how vicious politics is.
Yes.
And here was this person, Billy McMahon, who never deserved to be Prime Minister, finally gets there by dint of being just appallingly, unremittingly treacherous and determined. And he gets there. And it's so like what we're watching today. You know, he brought down with the assistance of the troglodyte sections of the then Liberal Party, a Prime Minister, John Gorton, who was attempting to drag this country a little into the future. And the troglodytes united, and they brought him down with the assistance, of course, of the great assassin, Malcolm Fraser. And to be reading this stuff again in this astonishing detail is to be reminded that we are not in a unique position at the moment. We are in a really unfortunate position. But we will get out of it. You know, we will get through it. It's just that, as with everything in Australia, good things take so much fighting to achieve. It takes so long. I mean, just look across the ditch at New Zealand. They do things, you know, not effortlessly, but they face issues, and their Conservative governments face issues which Australia just can't handle at all.
Do you think, David, you know, McMahon, he was opposed by the leader of the Country Party, as was John Gorton. And we always say about the Nationals, you can love the sheep but not the shepherd.
Just choking on my coffee. I haven't heard that.
It was one of my father's sayings. But we have a situation now where the issues that, you know, let's even just the last week, you know, LGBTI kids in school and, you know, people on Manus Island getting, you know, being able to have proper medical attention, actually in Australia as opposed to Taiwan or Botswana or New Caledonia or wherever Peter Dutton. This issue, I mean, to me, this is a basic issue about, I thought these were Australian values that would never be questioned. Why are we allowing this discussion to take place?
Okay, I'm hugely fond of polling. There's very little polling in the book because the odd thing about polling is that it doesn't kind of last. But right where we are at the moment, the support for maintaining the right to expel gay kids from private schools is about 8% in this country. It is 8%. And the notion that a government with almost no political capital would venture whatever it has left in preserving some kind of right in the churches to put the boot into gay kids is astonishing. But it's a measure, not of what Australians think, but of the state of Australian politics. It is a measure of the extent to which ultra-conservatives have seized control of the coalition. And my view on all of this is really simple. You don't need the kind of legal protections demanded by churches to do nice things to people. You only need what they call positive legal protections to maintain their ethos, close quote, if you are planning to do nasty things to people, and they are. So that's the kids' stuff. And the fact that they could not in this week find a way to just put in a guarantee for those kids is disgraceful. But now look at the kids on Manus and Nauru. The public opinion there is different. The public opinion there is different. And while there is clearly growing concern about the state, about what we are doing to people generally out there on Manus and Nauru, the nation is split on this issue. It's not the near unanimity of protecting gay kids. It's split. And there are some very nasty impulses in the Australian society which are being kept alive by what Morrison did this week. I don't know if you heard any of the debates.
How could you miss it?
You know, Tory Bernardi standing there saying that unless gay kids are jailed, you know, kept in prisons in, you know, an effective prison island, Australia will be invaded by refugees. And this is just...
Yeah.
And of course, the Christopher Pines comments and tweets that he subsequently deleted. So, what do you make of Barnaby Joyce's comments about trans kids during the week?
Oh, look, the trans kids issues is, like so many of these arguments, and indeed so many of the issues themselves, they're confected from the United States of America. All of this anti-trans stuff is deeply, deeply American. I don't believe it has any traction much in Australian society, but the, you know, which toilets they can use stuff, that is nasty Christian stuff in America. And it is reflected in some of the Christian teaching in Australia. You'll note that Christians are not, and please, let's put on our rubber gloves here to discuss this part of it, because it is just disgusting, but the churches aren't troubled by intersex kids, because you can point to their parts and say God made them that way.
Yes, it's God's
but
work.
For trans kids, if you're born with a dick, you have to live as a man, and that is God's message. the primitiveness of this thinking, and the cruelty, of course, never goes away. But there is no public support for it whatever. That's the interesting. When I say none, whatever, you know, it's double figures.
Yeah.
It would be very, very hard to imagine on the trans stuff. I haven't seen poll there, but it would get to double figures. You know, Australians generally just think all this stuff is disgusting.
Now, I've got to say, people need to buy this book. Right? It's called My Country. It's by David Marsh. Stories, Essays and Speeches, Black Ink Books. Now, we got a message from a listener. They love your antics with
Jared Henderson.
Jared Henderson.
They are sick people, your listeners. Sick, sick people.
I mean, Jared, I'm one of these people also that actually watches Sky News, because I actually find it amusing. But
you are a sick, sick person.
Yeah, I agree with that.
We have to know what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. But Jared Henderson, you know, Jared, I often wonder whether he's actually going to break down and cry.
No, I don't.
No?
I'm not sure that tears are part of his repertoire. You do have to have a measure of pity for Jared. I mean, here he is, one of the last of Bob Santamaria's acolytes.
Yes.
Still in public life. I mean, Tony Abbott is another, of course. And they've set their hearts on preserving the world from the trivial fashionable morality of people like you and me. And they've sat there on the shoreline as the tide has receded and receded and receded for them. There's nothing between them and Australia, really, but mud flats. And they deserve a measure of sympathy, but I don't think they deserve much respect.
No.
Pay attention, of course. And Jared has his strengths. I mean, he's a passionate Republican, and there was a time, not so much now, but there was a time when he was absolutely terrific on race. He was really, really good on race and refugees, but not now so much. No.
Well, they say, you know, David, old groupers don't die. They just go to continue
running. The Liberal Party.
Well, the Liberal Party and the Shoppers Union and probably Sky. When you're next in Melbourne, if you're in Melbourne on a Saturday, you must come in. And you can co-host with us.
I'd love to do that.
That would be.
I'd love to do that.
I'd probably have to be carried.
We'll make it your worthwhile. We promise.
Oh, what are you insinuating, Ted?
A good cup of tea.
Now, I do have one final comment. We have actually a bit of feedback from one of our listeners who says, and I quote, "Love David's insightful commentary. Why doesn't he run as an independent in politics? We need more good men like David." Now, I'll just take that as a comment, but I'm much more interested in your prediction of what will happen at the next federal election.
You can't tell what will happen between now and then. Mm. I remember in early 2001 believing that nothing whatever could save the Howard government. Nothing.
And then you pulled Tampa out of his ass?
You pulled Tampa out of your hat. You're helped, of course, by you know, the Twin Towers in New York being brought down by terrorists. But you pull Tampa out of your hat, and if you are daring enough, and one of the messages of my book and my writing over something like 45 years is never underestimate how radically daring conservatives can be in this country. Never underestimate it. So I'm not going to predict what will happen
they could,
in March or May next year.
At this very moment, Mike Pezzullo in Australian Border Force is tracking down a transgender terror cell.
David, thank you very much for your time, David. It's and we do look forward to having you in the studio.
We love it.
We will stay in touch with you so that we can just track your movements and make sure that we do grab you next time you're in Melbourne on a Saturday morning.
Okay, and all the best to you. Thanks.
Hi, this is John Borghetti, the CEO of Virgin Australia. Just like Joy 94.9, we are flying high and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.